So let me ask everybody to just bow their head, and we're going to say a word of prayer as we get started here, and then we're going to go through the formalities of the matter. Father Yahweh, we do thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your Sabbath that you give us to give us rest and to come together in convocation. And thank you, Father, that we can all be here and that we can be in a spirit of unity and love of the brethren. I ask, Father, that you bring your Spirit and just empower the situation, help the situation, help everything going on. Just help everyone focus, help everyone concentrate, help everyone have an understanding that's here in the matters. We do ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit anoint the situation and that we do things according to your word and that we have confidence in it. And I ask for help in Jesus' name to deliver all that's before us. Amen. I'm going to read from the Geneva Bible. I really enjoy that translation for certain things, and I think it makes things clearer in that case. So Matthew chapter 20, 25 through 28. If you wouldn't mind, we're going to stand together. I want everybody to know this is the Holy Scripture. It's the Word of God given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew. This is the Word of the Lord. Therefore Jesus called them unto him and said, "We know that the lords of the Gentiles have dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for the ransom of many." We'll end here of reading God's holy word. I ask everybody to ask for a blessing and understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In verse 27 of what we just read, in verse 27, where you heard the word chief, and if your translation has the word chief, we find the Greek word protos. We still use that word in English. Protos. It means foremost. Proto. Okay? But in Luke's 22nd chapter, which is the synopsis, we call these the synoptic gospels, they tell us the same thing. In Luke's 22nd chapter of this same lesson, we have the Greek word hegiomenios. Hegiomenios. This is important because in Luke's 22nd chapter, when this talks about the same exact thing, it's given in two different ways, and it is a present action word. That's important. You know what present action word is? A present action verb. It means it's happening right now. He is at this time being chief. Okay? He is presently actively being that. And it means that he's leading in the seventh part also. So it says, "Whosoever will be leading among you, let him be your servant." And it's presently leading. In other words, the person being described is already presently doing it. He doesn't necessarily have to be told to. It's in him. It's part of who he is. We find the same exact thing in the Greek language for the word diakonos. That's the word we get deacon from, minister and servant, right? So he is actively serving. He is presently doing it. Now, if you read it in Matthew, what you notice is he used the noun form of the word. Noun is a person, place, or thing. That's why it's good for everybody to pay attention to that this homeschooling class is on language, on grammar. The noun is used in Matthew chapter 20, but in Luke, the action is talked about. Jesus did that, and the apostles did that, so we could have a certain conclusion of what was being said. In other words, we're not talking about a title, a guy in an office, a guy who just has a standing. I am your leader. He is leading. That's why he's your leader. I am your chief. He is chief because he's chiefing. Okay? That's the difference. Christianity is always functional. It's not idle. It's not sedentary, sitting there, doing nothing. Christianity is always truly moving. If it's not moving, it's not Christianity. If it's idle, if it's dead, it's dead. And Christianity is alive because it's empowered by the Word of God. Luke 22:26 reads like this: Let the greatest among you be as the least, and the one leading, he that is serving. Do you notice the difference in language? The one that is leading, he that is serving. Matthew uses titles. Luke uses verbs. He uses action. Both are true. Both are making one statement. If you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, there are two statements in the book of Hebrews that similarly speak of this leadership being referred to. It's verses 7 and 17. Easy to remember. They both have sevens. Remember those that have the leading of you, is how this translation reads, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Now you know what the following and the leading is about, the word of God and their faith, considering the end of their way is life. Okay? That's the type of leadership. Leading you in the spoken word of God, whose faith they're saying you can follow. Consider what they're saying, because they're leading for life. They're leading you to death, don't follow them. If they're leading without the word of God, don't follow them. If they lead you and they say, you know, I don't really have faith myself, but I can preach a pretty good sermon, don't follow them. They're out there. They're called business preachers. Filthy lucre. Hebrews 13:17 says something very similar also. He says this, obey them that have the leading of you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Notice to what he says here. He says, obey those who are doing this leading by the word of God, who are leading by faith, right, whose end is life. And don't be afraid to submit yourself to them, because they're watching out for your souls. How do you know that? Because they see their life as having to give an account for your life before the throne of God. And you don't want it to be a burden to them, right? You don't want to be, because that's not good for you, and it's not good for them. It's not good for anybody. And so very much so, this is the type of leading that we are seeing. Those actively involved in saying, I believe I am called to lead in faith. I have enough faith that I can share it with you. I have enough understanding in the Word of God, I can share it with you. I have enough understanding of the path to go forward in life that I can say, follow me. Life is this way. And in that way, it's unprofitable to just be arguing about it. It's unprofitable not to submit to it. It's unprofitable not to obey it. It won't help us. And that's what I pretty much got them describing already, right? The very next verse says, but pray for us. The apostle's actually speaking as a leader in this case. He's speaking as a minister. He's saying, but pray for us, for we trust that we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Anyone called to the ministry needs your prayers. If we're in a congregation together, I need your prayers. Josh is going to need your prayers. Ministers need your prayers. We are ineffective in and of ourselves. We're just words. We're just speaking. We're just trying to get you to understand something. We need your prayers to do our job. It is a tiring, trying job. It really is. The term deacon or minister in the Old Testament, when you read it out of the Greek, only has a couple uses. It's only used a few times, very few. And they're not very glorious titles. A deacon or a minister, in the way that word is used, is always a waiter. Like when you go to a restaurant and someone brings you your order and brings you your food and your water, that's actually what a minister is in the Bible. That is the origins of the word. I'll give you some examples real quickly. Esther chapter 2, verses 2 says, Then said the king to his deacons, or his servants that ministered or served unto him, Let there be a fair young virgin sought for the king. And so if you know the story of Esther, which we'll discuss a little bit tomorrow, the story of Esther is they needed a new queen. So these are just the guys that go out into the land, and they look for the bride of the king. Sound like a Christian story? And they are doing the king's bidding. Go find me a wife. Go find the bride of the king, the bride of Christ. That is the Old Testament allusion to the Christian office of the minister. Esther 6:3 is used again. The king said, "What honor and dignity had been done unto Mordecai for the things he had done unto me?" Then said the king's deacons that deaconed to him, or his servants that served him, or his ministers that ministered to him, "There has been nothing done for him." And they went and they got the books of the Chronicles of the king. Hold on, where's mine? The books of the Chronicles of the king. And they read it before the king. And then they found what needed to be done. There's the next Old Testament allusion. They both come out of the book of Esther. Interesting, isn't it? Scriptures like us tell us that the church body is the bride of Christ. That we are all members in particular one of another, and that the minister, when he is ordained to the church body, is ministering not to the congregation. He's ministering to Christ, the king. He reads the scripture to the king. He doesn't read it to you. We are bystanders when we hear a minister preach. It is faithfully spoken for what you may need to hear and what needs to be done, but it is faithfully spoken to the king as if Christ were sitting there. And the message preached had to be given to him. The records had to be found for him. You understand that? That's not a light calling. I know a lot of preachers that take that lightly, but that's why exposition of the Bible, just going through the Bible and representing it accurately, is important. Bodies have needs, don't they? Your bodies all have needs? Doesn't everyone's body have a need? You know, you take baths, you wash up, you do things. Things need done for a body, don't they? You need to take care of it when it cuts itself. Church bodies have needs because we are body in particular. Ministers are ones that are called to help take care of that church, that body. And in this way, the body of Christ is to be nourished in two ways, physical and spiritual needs. As the church body, we are not just physical or spiritual, we are both. Service is needing to be ministered physically is of a man who meets physical qualifications that we read about. Didn't we read those qualifications? They were physical. Married, ruling his family well, doing this, doing that. Right? Those are physical things. But yet able to also faithfully bring forth the word of God. Spiritual. You see the uniting things, how the uniting aspects of these come together. There are things that are said of him. He can't be greedy of filthy lucre. Greedy of money is what that means. Can't be looking for things that are lucrative. He has to be a sober-minded person. He can't have vices. He can't be an addict. He can't be addicted to things. He can't be controlled by other things because he serves the king. And if the king is being served, nothing can get in between him and the king's service. You know what happens to bad servants? They get executed. That's what they do. Go read the Bible. You'll find that. So when you take this job seriously, this is not just, hey, I want to get up here and talk to everybody. I want to make sure you all listen. You are serving the king, and that service is highly important for the body. So there's different aspects of it that have to be maintained, right? We read in 1 Timothy 3:10 in Bible study, "Let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of the deacon, the minister, or the servant, being found blameless." So besides this, a minister in the church, as it's taught to us by Scripture, by the apostles and the prophets, God shows us a man that is a married man with children who are ruled well, and he is found with a wife who is serious and grave, and she is dignified, according to the Scripture. His wife can't be a slanderer. She has to be one who uses her words wisely, to keep one stood up. If you actually examine these words in Greek, it actually refers to someone who doesn't knock down other people with her words. She doesn't bowl them over like a bowling pin. That's actually the word used in Diabolos. I think I described that last week at Bible study. And so there is a very important task appointed to a wife. She also has to be sober, and she has to be able to be sober towards her husband, clear-minded. Lastly, and most importantly, it says she has to be faithful in all things. Boy, is that a high calling, isn't it? But that is the calling. Faithful in all things. It's not realized by most people, but a minister's wife is a ministeress herself. As I pointed out already, she ministers to the women of the congregation. She has to serve where her husband serves. She will never not bear the burdens that her husband bears. Whether that's laying in bed at night on the pillow talking about the troubles that are going through his mind and the church, or whatever service that he's undertaken, she's going to bear them with him. And on top of that, if she doesn't support him, he will fall. He can't stand alone. That's why he has to be married. He needs a helpmate. That is the biblical example. And so without those things, there is no qualification. Physical and spiritual. Physical and spiritual. That's the pattern of Scripture. And so whenever we talk about being proved in all things, we have to look at this and seeing the things that are being mentioned here, that they're proved and found acceptable. All of us have a chance to know Josh. All of us have been around him here. I have been to his home. Some of us spent more time. Some of us known. I think we've known each other for close to 3 years. And I knew exactly when I met Josh that there was a minister spirit in him. I just saw it. Knew whenever he'd go to the park and had to set up a sign to pray for people or talk to people. I just knew right away there was a ministering spirit. And I just sat and watched and listened. And I saw it. And so I can attest for that aspect of what we're going to do today. And I feel confident in it. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be, hopefully, and with God's blessing, more than hope, we're going to have to consider what we are growing out here. And I've talked about that at great length, so I won't talk about it again. But what may be growing here is something bigger and greater with God's blessing, and we need help. I need help. Okay? And I'm more than happy to accept Josh's help in these things, and I hope he's more than happy to accept mine. And so, in a way, we're uniting in our efforts here. I need a yoke fellow. I do. I need someone to help bear burdens. He needs somebody to help him when, as he ministers. He's going to need guidance on things and things like that. We're going to work together. And so, in our relationship and in his relationship with all of you, use him like a servant. I don't mean that negatively. People, see, that's about American culture again. Do you need a hamburger? Josh will get it for you. I don't mean that physically. I mean that spiritually. You need the bread of the word? You need a little meat? Ask Josh. He has some good insights. I've listened to him. I know that he knows the gospel, and I know that he knows the law, and he's learning, and he's continuing to learn, and he's going to be able to help serve those things. That's the bread of the word that he's serving as a table waiter. That's my job as well. But there are times where you got more things to do, and you sometimes say, hey, can you get that tray? I'll get this tray, and we'll serve it together. And that's what I'm hoping we can accomplish. I'm going to end up reading Luke chapter 22 and ending this before we conduct the formal ceremony. I'm reading it again out of the Geneva Bible, Luke 22, 25 through 30. But he, referring to Jesus, said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles reign over them, and they that bear rule over them are called bountiful. But ye shall not be so. But let the greatest among you be the least, and the chiefest, or the leading, as he that serveth. For who is greater, he that sitteth at the table, or he that serveth? You see that consistent theme from Esther all the way into the Lord's words? Never changed its meaning. Is not he that sitteth at the table? And then the Lord himself says this, I am among you as him that serves as the deacon. And ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Therefore I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on seats and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow, that went quick, didn't it? From table waiter to the judge of the 12 tribes. That's because a lot of the church government discussion we've already had today. So I want you to interpret everything that we're doing today through Luke chapter 22 and Matthew chapter 20. I want you to interpret it that way and understand it that way of what we're doing as we are ordaining servants. And so I'm going to ask Josh to step forward. And I'm going to use formal language just to keep everything in order so you can think about this. Step forward before the body of Christ, you who say that you have the calling of the Spirit to be a servant of the Lord's church by the gift of the ministry. You stand to it? Josh Hastings, he's a husband and father, therefore he has to call his children forward in front of this congregation and his wife.
Vera, children, come forward, please.
I'm going to have you guys stand here in the back, if you don't mind, right, stand behind him, because he's going to have a bunch of other people around him here in a minute. All right. I'm going to ask you guys one by one a question. And we'll start with Sarah. Sarah, you living and being of this man's household, do you submit to this man's rule in your life as your leader? Andrew?
Yes.
Lexi?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, you can't hide. Remington?
Yes.
Declan?
Yes.
Can you answer? I'll take the laugh. We'll take the laugh, right? All right. So they all answered in the affirmative, so we're good so far, right? I'm going to call the men of the church, all the married men with a wife in that good standing, come forward and lay hands on Brother Josh. Yeah, just surround them. No, married men.
You said
just the men. All right. So, as we discussed earlier, this is technically our presbytery in this congregation gathering. All right. Now, I'm going to ask everybody to lift their hands if they will, and just one will work. That's kind of like your pledge of affirmation. And everyone's going to lay hands on Josh at this time. And I'm going to try to stay in a place where I can talk to everybody here so easily. You can all see me. This is called the charge. This is taken from what we read already. So I am going to charge Josh with these things, and he's going to attest to it. I charge you before the Lord God Yahweh in this congregation, which is representative of Christ's body, to whom you will serve in the office of minister, before and with the men who have families with children to be led into the future. By the placing hands upon you as your presbytery, accept your offer by the calling as a minister from among them, taken from among us. I also charge you before this general assembly of the congregation, all that are here, that are present, and all who are called among us to worship with us, and to live in a common calling of our standards according to law and gospel by these words. That as thou hast been called by the Lord, so shalt thou be devoted to a life as a servant of the Lord's church, leading by the public example as a servant or a minister. Thus I charge you before the Lord to be a man of gravity.
For so I desire to serve the Lord.
I charge you before the Lord to be not double-tongued.
For so I desire to serve the Lord.
I charge you before the Lord to be sober and not given to any substance such as wine.
For so I desire to serve the Lord.
And finally, I must ask you if you are of a pure conscience, that you do now know and ever will hold mysteries of the true faith.
For so I desire to serve the Lord.
Ah.
God. Then let all who are present who have found you blameless thus far say amen.
Amen.
This pertains to your wife, so I'm going to turn and talk to her for a minute. You guys can. Wife, Sarah Hastings, as this man's helpmeet, you must also agree before God and by this body that you will be grave, serious, not slanderous to your husband or others, that you will be sober, and that you will be faithful in all things. Then let you answer so according to these requirements. Will you be grave?
Yes.
Will you be not slanderous?
Yes, I will.
Will you be sober?
Yes.
Will you be faithful in all things as your husband takes this office of ministry for the serving and leading of the Lord's church, which church is his and yours and your offspring's? Then let all of God's people say,
amen.
Amen.
Hands back on his brother. Know this and be assured,
Joshua Hastings,
this office of minister may well purchase a good rank to prepare you for further service and leading boldly in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. But to not minister well is an offense to the ministry of God.
I, Josh Hastings, intend fully to be found giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all these, I will commit myself as the minister of God. By great endurance in afflictions and hardships and calamities and beatings, by imprisonments and riots and labors and sleepless nights, and hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by genuine love, by truthful speech, by the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, as to be treated as an impostor and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold living, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything.
Amen.
Amen.
And these are four named ways according to the Holy Scriptures, so you must read in this service. By great endurance, in affliction, in hardships, in calamities, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, laboring, sleepless nights, in hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by genuine love, truthful speech, by the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in both your right hands and your left, your honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, as to be treated as an impostor, and yet to be true, as unknown, but yet to be well known, as dying, and behold living, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all. We're going to end this in a prayer that comes from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to ask the blessing of Brother Josh by the word of Scripture. O Lord our God, here we stand together as thy church, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, knowing that there be one body, one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. Thou hast said unto every one of us, They are given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. As Christ ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. We thank thee, our God, for these gifts. Given apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast chosen to continue some of these gifts. Give them to your saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Rather, by speaking truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whence the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. O gracious Father, we thank thee that thou hast done so, that we should not walk as other nations walk, in the vanity of our own minds, having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance because of the blindness of our hearts. Not to be past feeling, given over unto wickedness, or to work all uncleanness. For this is not how Christ is learned. As we have heard him and we have been taught by him, but rather, Lord, you have called us to put off the former corrupt ways according to deceitful lust, and to renew our spirit of our mind. As thou hast ordained us to be followers of God's dear children, and for this task you have given us ministers who are thereunto called. We ask by your holy word and through thy Holy Spirit to give your gift of ministry to our brother Josh, who has vowed and who has heard thy call unto him. As he has been called as a minister by thee, so let him from henceforth be found ministering, not slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord in Christ's name and with his blessing, we all ask this blessing. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Brother Josh is going to give us a short sermon here, a homily as it's called. Edify us a little. And then we'll finish with a psalm, and don't worry, lunch is coming.
Okay, I'm going to make this brief. All right. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer, so if you'll bow your heads with me. So, Father God, we just thank you for this time. We get to come together on the Sabbath and to worship you, Lord. You're so gracious and merciful. You're loving. And we thank you for that. Father, I just pray that this exhortation will be edifying to everybody here, Lord. I ask all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to start off by saying I'm honored and privileged to be serving you guys. It's a blessing. I really want to humble myself and be available to all of you. So I really want to share what the Lord has put on my heart. And Brother Josh spoke of it, the idea of unity. And we must have unity to build something. So the importance of unity as a body of believers is super important. We are to be unified and of one mind. This unity is to be centered on our love for Christ. Now, I know we will have some small theological differences, so this unity that we have must look past those things. I want to stress this, that maintaining unity is of the utmost importance. One of the tasks of a minister is to help maintain this unity. So if you'll turn to Psalm chapter 133, we're going to read the whole chapter. So Psalm chapter 133. So this is the Psalm of David. And it says this: Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So the psalmist proclaims that this dwelling in unity with one another is likened to holy anointing oil poured upon the head of Aaron, which is a representation of a consecrated blessing. So it's a holy, holy thing that David compares us to, this unity that we dwell in. This living unity is a blessing, and it's a holy thing to be, and it's commanded by Yahweh to, it is a command from the Lord. And so this special unity that we have is a privilege and honor that the heathen does not have. Because once again, we're in unity with Christ, and we're in unity with one another. The heathen does not understand that, nor will he ever, until he comes to faith in Christ. So we are in direct relationship with the Savior of the world. So Jesus Christ exemplified what it is to love and to live in unity. If we turn to John chapter 17, we'll see this. I'm going to read verses 1 through 23. So John chapter 17, verses 1 through 23. So this is the high priestly prayer, and then also going along further is the prayer that he had for his disciples, which we are all disciples of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So John chapter 17, starting verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those who you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name. The name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the whole world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. So we see the word of God says there that this unity that we have with one another, the world will see that, and they will know that we are in Christ. Christ is in us. So that this prayer that Jesus prayed describes the sanctification, both definitive and progressive. So basically we have the sanctification that is given to us through Christ's finished work, and then we have this progressive sanctification by living the Word of God, right? The Word of the Lord is truth, and we're sanctified by the Word of the Lord, by the Word of God. And once again, we notice that this prayer that he prayed is not only for those disciples right there, but also throughout for Christians throughout the whole of history, all of his disciples. So this prayer for us to be unified is foundational for building the kingdom. Right? This is key. We have to be unified to build. And being unified is understanding church government as well, understanding what biblical government looks like. So as a ministering servant of the Bride of Christ, my purpose, his purpose, is to aid in the health and growth of the church. And so this privilege, this honor, is to be taken very, very seriously. Taking care of the needs. It's important because I'm taking care of the needs of the children of God, the Bride of Christ. So I just want to finish up with another passage here. Before I do that, so we all have gifts. So I want to encourage all of you guys to figure out what those gifts are, so we can serve one another. Really pray. If you don't know what your gifts are, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and kind of go over some of the gifts and see, you know, what you feel like you're called to do. And it's very important to put your gifts to work. I mean, that's how we build things. That's how we move forward. So I'm going to finish everything up here, this little exhortation, with another scripture reading. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And it says this: above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards over the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, I love you guys, and I thank you again for letting me serve you.
Love you too.
Thanks, John.
All right. Well, we're going to close everything down here. You got your sheet here. We're going to sing Psalm 23 in closing. And we'll say a prayer for our meal, and we're going to have some lunch, I bet. By the way, this is the most common tune put to Psalm 23 in all of history. If you read books about the Scottish Reformation, they're singing it to this tune, just so you guys know. So we have Yahweh in ours, but if it says the Lord, you'd be singing words they've been singing for hundreds and hundreds. Mm-hmm.
shall not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the path of righteousness, in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
Fitting psalm, isn't it?
Let's pray. Father Yahweh, we do come before you, and we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the time we've come together, for the special occasion we've had this Sabbath, and we ask that you would once again just put a blessing on Josh and his family as he moves forward and as we all grow together. We ask you, Father, to be with the sick that are not with us, as well as the sick that are with us, anybody who may have any illnesses, ailments that are bothering them. We ask, Father, that you would help the women bearing children, as well as the children that have newly come into the world of our people, as we keep them all in prayer, that there's so many people right now in various situations, a lot of illness in the world. We ask you, Father, that you would give us a blessed fellowship dinner together, that we would remember that we are breaking bread together as brethren, and that this is the communion of the Lord's people. We ask you, Father, that you would give us unity, as Josh had talked about coming out of the psalm. We do ask truly that you would help us with this. Thank you for all that you give us, all that you allow us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.